Well, good evening all. It's always wonderful to be home. I can't tell you how good it is to come home. I don't know if you'll ever appreciate the way we feel about this church. But anyway, it's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I have less people, and they make a bigger noise than that when I ask them that question. So we'll try again, eh? Wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. My message tonight is titled, After God Speaks. I'd like to give you a parable that's told about God speaking. Three men once heard God speak. The first did nothing, confessing he simply did not understand what God wanted. The second, after hearing God speak, allowed the fear of how he might look to keep him from doing what God had asked him. The third heard God, and though somewhat confused and fearful, set out on a lifetime journey of doing what God had asked him to do, and great blessings were in his life. Another man in not too distant past, who was believed he was called to go back to where he'd come from, and he didn't go. Those blessings that would have been his were given to someone else because of the fear of what would unfold. These three men are in our midst today. You do not need to look around to see who they are. I'll tell you a little story. When I first came to church, and I suppose I'd been here about 6 months, and pastor would give a message, and I'd be looking around and said, well, that's so-and-so, and that's so-and-so. And one day, someone turned the light on for me. And they said, no, these messages are all for you, Norman. They're all for you. Each message was for you. So I've taken that on board. And this message tonight I preached last week in my own church in Lower Hutt. And this message is still for me tonight, because there's something in it that I can learn. And I hope that there will be a lesson in it for you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty and most gracious God, we do thank you for this church. We thank you for each one here and do pray for those that are not. And we do pray, Father, you would be with them as you are with us. We thank you for your love, your grace, great mercies, many loving kindnesses. But we especially thank you for your provision in our daily and eternal lives through Jesus Christ, your precious Son and our Saviour, who did that which we could not do. That was be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Father, we pray that you would open hearts tonight, that you would speak to each of us and teach us the things we need to learn. Help us to learn, help us to know, and help us to grow, and help us to be the children of God that you would have us to be. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and commit this evening into your hands in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. After God speaks, what are we to do? Perhaps the answer eludes us because of its simplicity. Salvation is simple. It's so simple that it confuses most people. Are we to do what God said to do? After God speaks, it is time to move to the next level. Later on, I'll come back to Hebrews, but turn to Deuteronomy 6:1-7, please. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1-7. I'll let everyone give you time to find it. Now these are the commandments of and statutes and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes, his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord thy God, the God of thy fathers, has promised thee, in the land which floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine soul, and with all thine might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. The people had in Israel had nearly completed their 40-odd years, 38 actually, they say, of their wanderings in the wilderness. Now a new generation was getting ready to enter the promised land. Moses recounts for them the history of what had taken place before as a warning not to repeat the same mistakes. Now, I'm not going to go there tonight because it would be here all night. But when you go home tonight, if you read Acts chapter 7, Stephen, a deacon, is giving the Sanhedrin a lesson in their own history. And what he's teaching them is a simple fact that Israel never got the message the first time. They always got it the second. Hence, the Lord's going to have to come back a second time. Because if they'd got the message the first time, you and I wouldn't be here today. So he's teaching them a simple lesson that they never got the message the first time. How about you and I? I don't know about you, but I know about me. I don't like having the lesson put back in front of me. I hate it because it comes back harder, it comes back worse, and I don't enjoy it. Because the lessons, I don't know about you, I don't learn that easily, but I try very hard to make sure that the lessons be not wasted. Many of us need to take this on, that the lessons be not wasted. Anyway, back to Moses. He reminded them that God had spoken and what he expects from them, and from us. Many people like to discard the Old Testament. But this book is one book. It is not 2, 5, or 66 books. It is one book. If you discard the Old Testament, you will never fathom the new, because you need both. So what he's trying to teach them is that God's spoken to them and he wants them to obey. God has given them a message, he's given them a way of life, and he wants them to obey. So God has spoken through Moses, and from Mount Sinai God had spoken to Israel through Moses. These were manifestations of a pillar of fire, a cloud of smoke, and lightning. There was no doubt that God had spoken to them. They all knew it because they could see them. And it was time for them to move to the next level. And there is no doubt that God continues to speak to you and I today. The problem is anyone listening? Is anyone listening? Hebrews 1:1-2 says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, and hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds. So God has spoken in past times, and he continues to speak today. How does he speak to you and I today? He doesn't speak verbally as I am now. He speaks through his word. But to find out what he's telling you or what he's asking you, you need to be reading this. Not putting it on the shelf on Sunday night and picking it up again the next following Sunday morning. So what do we need to do? We need to go to the next level. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 to 14, please. We need to go to the next level. And if anyone's wondering why I don't turn my pages in my Bible, I've got a computer program that does it for me and it puts it all on my paper here. Hebrews 5:11 says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need to one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of the righteousness, for he is a babe. But for strong meat belongeth to those that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." What he's saying there is that there are many Christians today who are still babes. They've been taught and have to be taught again. What's he saying? What's the writer of Hebrews telling us? He's telling us that we need to go to the next level. He's telling us that we need to mature. We need to become like the Son of God. With all due respects to Pastor, too many people look at their pastor and use him as the example. We should be going to the next level, climbing all the time. But many Christians, as we'll find out, are very happy to sit where they are and do nothing. We cannot stay where we are and please God. There are no squatter's rights in God's economy. Deuteronomy 1:6 says, "The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount." God said they'd been sitting around doing very little for too long. For 11 months, Israel had been camped and lived at the foot of Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb. And during their time in encampment, God had spoken and made a covenant with the people. He gave them the Ten Commandments. And with this covenant came knowledge. And with knowledge comes responsibility. I assume that most people in here are Christians. My question is, what are you doing with it? Sitting in the pews, doing nothing. The responsibility to take heed of what God tells us. Many people hear God's word and ignore it because it doesn't suit what they want or where they want to go or go anywhere at all, in fact. They hear God's voice and ignore it. When Brother Shane here speaks to you in the morning, he's speaking God's word. What are you doing with it? But 11 months of dwelling had allowed the people to settle to a life of ease. They had grown accustomed to their surroundings. Life was good. They didn't have to do much. However, God never allows squatters' rights to develop among his people. God is always moving his people onto greater heights and greater maturity. That's why you have tests. That's why things come into your life that you have to overcome. It's to grow you. You know, we all have things in our lives that come and test us. Pastor Shane had cancer, and that was probably a great test for him. We've got a lady in our church that's got cancer, and she's having treatment for it at the moment, and it's a great test for her and her family. These things come in our lives, and they are tests, because God is trying to grow us. He's trying to move us on to the next level. But too many people are too happy where they are, because to move to the next level is going to make you uncomfortable. We're not here to be comfortable. We're here to do things for God. We must never become complacent and satisfied with our life as it is today. I don't know about you, but of recent years I've become very dissatisfied with my life. And don't get me wrong, I have a great life, and I have a lovely wife, and I'm really happy here. But I want to get on up here. I want up here. There's no future here for me. But there is in heaven, and I need to get there. God is trying to train you so that when you get to heaven, you'll know you'll have a job to do. Everyone seems to think, I know of someone that had a couple of funerals in the family. Not very close, but... And one put a can of beer in the casket. And another one put a big packet of jelly beans in there. Two different funerals for two different things. Because they thought that when they get to heaven, they're going to have a big party, a big boozer. And the other one thought he was going to have a big time with jelly beans. No. It's not going to be a party. We're going to have something to do. I don't know if you've known anyone that's never had anything to do. What happens to them? What happens to people when they go on the dole and they can't find work? They get depressed because they've got nothing to do, nothing to occupy their minds. We need to be occupied. We need to be doing things. Some would say that there's no hope for tomorrow. We live in a fantastic world, but it's a very fast changing one. And you have two choices. You have one, actually. You either go with it or you'll get lost in it. The changes that are coming are even exciting. If you know anything about prophecy, it's exciting. Because everything in God's plan is moving towards the end objective. And I can't wait to get there, to be honest. I've got a loving wife, I'm happy, and life's good. I have issues like everyone else does. But life's still great. But I can't wait to get there. Heaven is beautiful. You and I cannot even begin to conceive what heaven is like. You know, we're talking about gold roads. Roads that are gold, they're so thin that you can almost see through it. The gold roads don't really interest me much. I'm there to see my Lord. There is hope for tomorrow. However, I always believe there is hope in Jesus Christ. My wife's family recently had a tragedy where someone committed suicide. The tragedy that he died isn't for me. For me, the tragedy was that he couldn't talk to someone about it because he lost hope. There is no problem that doesn't have a solution. You might not like the solution, but there is a solution to it if you talk to people. There is hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our only hope, because it's only through him that you and I are going to get to heaven. Do not be satisfied and remain where you are today. You need to move to the next level. And when you get there, I have to tell you, God's going to ask you to go to the next one. And then the next one, like the stairs going up there. You will be asked to go to the next level. And with every level you reach, there will be a blessing, I can assure you. And if you're not a Christian today, come and be saved. If you are a believer, realize that God's desire for us is to become like his dear Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I've come to the conclusion, for me anyway, that I'm never going to get there. But, like Paul, I'm going to go as close as possible to that. I will never become exactly like Jesus Christ until I'm in heaven. But I'm going to endeavour to get as close to it as possible. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." If you're saved tonight, you have been foreordained and predestinated to be conformed to the Lord. Now, I know I've touched an area that we could go into hours on. But it's time to leave what we have known. It's time to leave the past and follow Jesus into the present and into the future. We need to move up. We need to move on. We need to move and follow the Lord into the future. When God speaks, he is not satisfied with us doing nothing. As our Lord, our God, has commanded us in Deuteronomy 1:19, "And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all the great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites. As the Lord our God commanded us, we came to Kadesh Barnea." Moses led the people to make preparation to depart. The idea was to pull up the stakes, get the tents up, get the stakes out, pack them up and let's go. Move. The journey was not going to be an easy one. Not at all. They were on their way to where God had called them and was leading them, to the promised land. God has called us, you and I, to action. Action. What does it mean? It means doing something. Perhaps we are thinking there's nothing wrong with our life the way it is today. And that may well be true. But it could be so much better. God wants us to move beyond the life of being settled, content, and preoccupied with this world. God wants us to move on and upwards. We need to desire that which is better. What is it that is better? Our way to heaven. He has a plan and a design for us. Did you know everyone in the world that is born, God has a plan for their lives? Did you know that? And for you and I that are saved, he has a plan for you and I. When I look back on how I got here, it's quite fascinating. We had a couple of business failures. We had someone close the door every time I tried to move. Because if I'd got to where I wanted to go, I'd have never have gone anywhere. I'd have been like many other people, settled down and stayed there and done nothing for the rest of my life. I'd have worked and made money. But money isn't what life is all about. People are what life is all about. That's why the gentleman that committed suicide not so long ago, that's why he did it. Because he lost the emphasis on the people. God has a design for your life. And it's so much better than what you and I can get. He has a plan. And it transcends anything you and I can imagine. He wants us to obey him and follow his instructions. Are we obeying him and following his instructions? Recently, I had an invitation to marry someone in Christchurch. They were unequally yoked. I've got a guy in my church that's unequally yoked, and his wife happens to be Chinese, and she can't get a job here. He's got a very good one, but she needs work because they've got no children. So she's decided to go back to China to work. What do you think that's going to do for their marriage? And why do you think it's happening? It's happening because they're unequally yoked. And his life is very difficult because he really loves her. God wants us to obey his instructions. The blessings, Deuteronomy 1:11. The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as ye are, and bless you as he has promised you. God's blessings would go with them. How many of you here today are blessed? Show of hands? Good gracious, not many. I'm blessed every day. And I never have a bad day, do you know that? It's either not as good or it's a little bit better than the day before. Never a bad day. God blesses you every day. The fact that you're still breathing is a blessing. No matter your past, God wants to bless you. As you come repenting, past failures, hurts, disappointments that you have held you down, God is going to turn you around and start you on a new journey. Do you know life is a journey? It's a marathon. You know, a 100-yard dash takes, what, something like 11 seconds for the average. Maybe 12 seconds for many of us. For me, it'd probably be about 20. Very short time. But a marathon takes longer. It's a journey. Life's a journey. And it's a wonderful journey if you've got the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. I can tell you that now. So what can we expect? Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." If we want blessings of God beyond our expectations, we have to break camp, pull up the tent pegs, fold them up, and pass, move. Start trusting God into the present. You know, faith is a funny thing. Many people deny or cannot have faith in Christ. Why is their own decision? But you know they have faith every day. Every morning they get in their car at Paikokoriki or Upper Hutt or wherever and drive all the way to Wellington. And they have faith that the car coming the other way at 100 kilometres an hour, the same as they're doing, is going to stay on his side of the road. That's faith. The only thing is they don't recognize it. So what is keeping us from God today? Don't allow the lack of understanding of what God is doing or saying to keep us from him this evening. Don't allow the fear of what others might think or how we might look at others to keep us from coming to God. God is speaking to us today. And he is calling us to depart from our past and come to him. What will our response be? There are those here without Christ. Come to him today for salvation. Christians, God wants you to move to the next level. The question is, are you willing? Are you willing to put yourself out a little bit to move to the next level? Will we obey the voice of God this morning? Or this evening, sorry. I preached this last Sunday morning in the church. Three men heard God speak. The first heard, did nothing, confessing he simply did not understand what God had wanted. The second, after hearing God speak, allowed the fear of how he might look to keep him from doing what God had asked him to do. The third heard God and set out on a lifetime of journey, doing what God had asked him, and great were the blessings in his life. Which man are you? Be the third and find a life of blessings today. Whatever your need, come, let us pray.